ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण। On behalf of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and our beloved Acharyas, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and on behalf of all of the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we welcome you to the celebration of Sri Govardhan Puja. Govardhan Puja is one of the most joyful as well as instructive festivals of the year. It is a festival that Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, personally taught by His instructions and by His example of how Sri Giriraj Govardhan should be honored and served with love. The hill of Govardhan is Krishna Himself with all six opulences. But by His own divine pastimes, also accepts the role of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya also revealed the expression of this mood. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rashmat Ekat Manabhi Bhuvi Babade Habitam Gatao Tao Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Madanathad Vayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. The One Absolute Truth has appeared in two forms for the sake of the Leela of Supreme Love, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. These two most divine transcendental personalities have again become one in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, with the complexion of Srimati Radharani, who has come to taste the sweetness of her love. Lord Chaitanya took a role of a devotee, not only to teach us how to be devotee, but to fulfill His own inner desires. Naham vipronacha narapatirnapi vaishyana shudra. Lord Chaitanya taught, what is the identity we should strive to achieve? I am not Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Nor am I Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas. I have no real identity with these upadis or these temporary designations. My eternal nature, my eternal aspiration, Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yora Das Adas Adas Anudas, is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of Gopis. we find Sri Ramchandra serving Vasishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, serving the great sages in Chitrakoot, serving Agastya Muni just in the outside of Nasik, Panchabati. Yes, love means service. Krishna is the supreme servant, and we are all his eternal servants. So Sri Giriraj Govardhan, although the supreme absolute truth with all opulences, the origin of all incarnations, also takes the role of Haridas Bharya, the greatest of all the servants of Lord Hari. Today we worship Sri Giriraj Govardhan. The Varaha Purana describes the one who worships Govardhan Hill properly, or sincerely does the parikrama of Govardhan Hill, will never have to take birth again in this material world, but will attain the Lord's eternal abode. The origin of Sri Giriraj and the particular significance of this day, we will attempt to briefly explain for the pleasure of the devotees, with your blessings and permission. Beyond this material existence is the spiritual realm. Within the Brahma Jyoti or Parabhyoma, the spiritual sky, are countless Vaikuntha planets. Those who achieve the perfection of the path of jnana can achieve mukti, of entering into the spiritual sky and remaining there as a spark of light within the unlimited light which is radiating from Krishna's own effulgence. Within that spiritual sky is the abodes of the Lord, where Lord Narayan is eternally reciprocating loving pastimes with his devotees, always being lovingly worshipped by Lakshmi Devi. But the supreme most intimate of all the abodes of the Lord is Goloka, where Sri Sri Radha and Krishna eternally perform their pastimes with their eternal associates. Srimati Radharani is the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord, the original Shakti, from whom all other potencies of the Lord originate. On one day, and please understand, in this spiritual world, when we speak about days, it is not limited to the time references that we have in this world. Srimati Radharani, in the arena of the Rasa Lila, appealed to Krishna. She said, "If you are pleased with my love, the love of the gopis, the forest of Vrindavan, and the arena of our rasa dance, then please, please fulfill the desire of my heart." Krishna responded that he would fulfill whatever desire was in her heart. Srimati Radharani, she prayed for this by saying, "Please create the supreme, most pleasurable place where we could perform our pastimes." Krishna then closed his eyes. And with his divine awareness, searched for the very essence of the love of his heart. From that essence of Krishna's love emerged a tiny seed. That seed fell right in the holy place of the Rasmandala. It grew into a stone, then a rock, then a hill, and a great mountain. Srimati Radharani, all gopis were watching. Right before their eyes, this mountain just blossomed with unlimited kalpa vriksha trees and beautiful lakes, rivers, caves, filled with precious jewels. Supremely happy, Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna, along with their associates, spent the rest of the day exploring the beauty of Sri Giriraj Govardhan Hill. Sri Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita explains how superior to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world of Lakshmi Narayan, is Mathura. Because that is where the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. Superior to Mathura is the forest of Vrindavan, where Krishna performs his Raslila and so many other wonderful pastimes. Superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Sri Govardhan Hill. That hill that Krishna lifted with the little finger of his left hand to protect his devotees and to curb the pride of Indra. That hill, which is the favorite place of the most loving pastimes of Krishna and gopas and gopis. And the supreme place at Govardhan Hill is Sri Radha Kund and Sham Kund, which are eternally resting at the very feet of Sri Govardhan Hill. Lord Brahma prayed to Krishna to descend into this world. Now we know that Krishna comes as Yugavatar in his various expansions in every yuga to establish the principles of religion, annihilate the miscreants, and give pleasure to his devotees. There are Leelavatars, Purushavatars, Manvantavatars, Gunavatars, but only once in a day of Brahma does the absolute truth in his original form appear on this earth. Krishna in Sri Goloka Dham in the spiritual world expressed to Srimati Radharani that on the call of Lord Brahma he was descending onto the earth planet within the material universe. And requested her to also appear along with him. But she revealed her heart to Lord Krishna. I will certainly go wherever you go, my Lord, but I will not find real happiness without Yamuna, the forest, the Vrindavan, and Sri Giriraj Govardhan. Krishna told Srimati Radharani that he had already sent Govardhan Hill to appear within this world. Govardhan appeared as the son of Dronachala, high in the sacred mountains. When he appeared, all the other great personified leaders of the mountains, they realized that he is nothing like the rest of us. He has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. And therefore the demigods and all the great personalities worship Sri Giriraj, the king of all mountains, by showering him with flowers and singing beautiful songs of praise. One time Pulastya Muni was traveling by his mystic potencies, and he observed the beauty of Sri Govardhan, a mountain like no other in all of creation. He appealed to Dronachala that I wish to take Govardhan to my ashram near Varanasi, because there are no proper hills there. And there I will find the greatest happiness meditating. Dronachala was weeping and crying, but how could he say no to such a great sage? But Giriraj had planned. He knew what his purpose was of coming to this world. And he knows past, present, and future. Thus, he made an agreement with Pulastya Muni, which would cause his pastimes to unfold perfectly according to his own will. Yes, I will go with you, but you must carry me in your hand. And if you put me down anywhere, I will not move from that spot. That is no problem for Pulastya Muni. This is in the Satya Yuga. He had tremendous powers. So he lifted Govardhan. It was carrying so much long distance. And Govardhan saw the eternal abode of Krishna, Goloka, which had manifested in this world as Gokul. What is Gokul? It is non-different than the spiritual world. Absolutely non-different than the Lord's eternal abode. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochane na santa sadaiva hitayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achutta guna swarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. But unless our eyes are ornamented with the salve of love, we cannot see Krishna as he is. We cannot hear his name as he is. We cannot see his eternal transcendental abode as it is. Because we cannot see the holy Dham or the supreme personality of Godhead with senses that are contaminated by material illusion. But the Lord is so kind that he manifests the holy Dham, his beautiful form of the deity, his devotees, and his holy names to purify our heart. And gradually through such purification, which takes place in the 9 processes of devotional service, then we could see things as they are. So Govardhan saw, here is Krishna's eternal abode, this is my place. So by his divine powers, he induced within the body of Pulastya Muni the unbearable urge to respond to the calls of nature. And sometimes the urges of the body are so powerful that they take away one's intelligence and we forget. So Pulastya Muni was struggling. He so much had to pass urine that he forgot all about the agreement he made. He put Govardhan down, he wrapped his sacred thread around his ear, he went to a secluded place, he performed his required needs, he took his bath, said his Achman, chanted mantras, and lifted Govardhan. But he would not move. He became very angry and cursed Govardhan. Because you are not obeying my will, that every single day you will reduce in size one mustard seed in length. Now that was millions and millions of years ago. But actually, Govardhan himself, by his Yogamaya potency, spoke through Pulasya Muni. Why? Because in Satya Yuga, Govardhan Hill was huge. It had gigantic mountain peaks, higher than Mount Everest, by far. Yes? And Krishna and gopas and gopis, how will they perform leelas on such a mountain? So over the ages, he went smaller, 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 till he was perfect size when the end of Dwapara Yuga appeared. And Krishna and Balaram made that their favorite playground. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis, who are the greatest of devotees, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has taught us that there is no love superior to that of the gopis of Vrindavan. But they are speaking from their hearts that there is no greater, more loving servant of Krishna than Govardhan. He is Haridas Bharya, the most beloved devotee. Why? Because he knows so perfectly how to please Krishna with soft grasses for the cows, with beautiful nectarine streams of water for the cows and the gopas to quench their thirst, to bathe, and nice caves, intimate caves that give such security and privacy. Yes, by pleasing the Lord's devotees, one can give the highest pleasure to the Lord. Govardhan, who is Krishna himself, in the role of one who is pleasing Krishna, is always in transcendental ecstasy. And how the symptoms of ecstasy manifest in his body are all for the service of the Lord. We have heard beautiful narrations from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about that devotee who was fanning Krishna, and tears were pouring from his eyes in ecstasy, and he was condemning his ecstatic feelings because they are interfering with his ability to concentratingly fan the Lord. A devotee is not concerned with ecstasy. A devotee is concerned with Krishna's pleasure. That is pure devotional service. Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navrita anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama. What is pure devotional service? Simply for the pleasure of Krishna. We are not concerned with fruit of attainments for our sense gratification. We are not concerned with any arrangement for our happiness in this world, nor elevation to the heavenly planets. We are not at all attracted by the mystic siddhis or even liberation. Pure devotional service is the heart that only wants to give satisfaction to Krishna in a favorable way. So the ecstasies of a devotee are not for their own pleasure, but for the pleasure of God. One of the symptoms of ecstasy is a hair standing on end. And Govardhan's hair standing on end are in the form of the grass and the trees. This grass has four very special qualities. It is Sugandha. That means it is very fragrant. Just the fragrance intoxicates the cows and the calves. And they become so much attracted to eat that grass. And it is so delicious. It is absolutely like nectar to eat. Can you imagine? The cows become intoxicated with the pleasurable, sweet nature of the grass that Govardhan is supplying. And it is also Sukamala. Sukomala, which means it is very tender and soft. So when the cows eat this grass, it's very pleasing to their mouth. It never cuts them. And also this grass, it is so nutritious. Not just vitamins, but nutritious in every way, so that any cow that ever once eats the grass of Sri Giriraj will never get sick, will always be full of energy and life. And the fourth quality of the grass of Govardhan is when the cows eat it, it produces the supreme nectar of milk for the pleasure of Krishna and all the Brijavasis, as well as their own little calves. The gopis also explain that one of the symptoms of ecstasy is tears from the eyes. Really, the tears of a devotee do not come from the eyes, but they come from the heart. If our tears come from the eyes, that could be artificial. There are Hollywood and Bollywood stars who are trained to cry whenever it is required for their performance. And similarly, there is a sahaja type of people who train themselves to cry when they're hearing the scriptures, when they are performing Nam Sankirtan, when they are remembering Krishna. Tears, torrents coming from the eyes. But the Acharyas describe that such tears wash away all the conclusions of the holy scriptures. Lord Chaitanya played, Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. Feeling the absence of Krishna, a moment seems like 12 years or more, and the whole world is dreary in his absence. These are the feelings of separation. Nayanam galadashudaraya vadanam gadgararudhaya. When will that day come when from my heart of hearts tears of love will pour from my eyes like rain? In loving devotion to Krishna, and my hair stand on end and my voice become choked up as I'm chanting Krishna's holy name. So Govardhan, in his ecstasy of feeling the beautiful soft lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram on his body, is in ecstasy. And he's crying torrents of tears, which manifest as lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams. But this water is so nectarine that even the somaras of the demigods cannot compare to the sweetness of the water of Govardhan. It is always refreshingly cool. And the cows and calves, when they drink it, they become intoxicated. When the cowherd boys drink that water, they roll on the ground in ecstatic love. It is not like the intoxications of this world.
We see people on drugs and alcohol rolling underground too, but it is not like that.
These people are stupid. They lose their intelligence. They lose all their good qualities. Intoxication destroys the good qualities of a human being. And further covers one's real consciousness. But the sweet waters of Sri Giriraj are spiritual nectar. They awaken such ecstatic purity. They awaken such love of Krishna from in the heart. Because the gopas and the cows, when they are drinking Sri Giriraj's waters from those lakes and streams, they are drinking Giriraj's love for Krishna. And by associating with that love, their love increases. They're tasting Govardhan's love for Krishna. Therefore, they're rolling in the ground uncontrollably, loudly chanting Krishna's holy name. Then the dew, that misty dew that is in the morning hours, is the ecstatic symptom of perspiration on Sri Govardhan's body. And the stones of Govardhan Hill, whenever any cow, calf, gopa, gopi, or Krishna Balaram, or even the deers or the peacocks, any of Krishna's associates that step on the rocks become as soft as butter under their feet. Cool in the summer and warm in the winter. And even if there's a thorn, as soon as any devotee or the Lord's associates steps on that thorn, immediately it becomes as soft as a lotus petal. And sometimes in ecstasy, Sri Giriraj melts under the footprints of Krishna and his associates. And today, if you go to Sri Govardhan Hill, there are several places where those footprints are still present. There is Radharani's footprints, Krishna's footprints, at Shambhar, Shamban, and at the place of the Danakeli Lila, Dangati. And there's a nice place near the Doki Dauji temple where Krishna's crown made print in the stone. The Brijavasi say it is Krishna's crown, others say it is Balaram's crown. But in either case, the imprint comes from the ecstasy of Sri Giriraj. Yes, in this way the gopis are praising Krishna. And the caves of Govardhan Hill, better than any air conditioning in the summer. Perfect, perfect temperature. So pleasing to the body and so nice and warm in the winter. And Sri Giriraj supplies furniture made of diamonds, emeralds, pearls, and rubies. And wonderful mirrors. And completely soundproof and private, so no one could find Krishna when he's in his Govardhan's caves. Yes, in this way, gopis say, there is no one who pleases Krishna better by providing such wonderful facilities for all the devotees to enjoy pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna was herding cows at Sri Govardhan Hill with Krishna Balaram and the gopas. And later on, he would perform his spring Raslila at Govardhan Hill. Jayadev Goswami in Gita Govinda describes the Rasa dance at Sri Govardhan.
At the Rasastali and Chandra Sarovar, Apsarakund and Navalakund, most intimate loving places of Krishna's pastimes with gopas and gopis.
One day, when Gopal was 7 years old, he happened to see his father, Nanda Maharaj, along with the elder gopas and gopis, making very elaborate arrangements for a sacrifice of worship. Now, Gopal knew everything about it. For one reason, he was 7 years old, so he observed this puja for at least six times, because they did it every single year. And also because he is the all-pervading Lord who knows everything. But the Lord's pastimes are to attract our hearts, to teach us wonderful lessons, and ultimately to enjoy the divine pleasures of love with his devotees. So to perform this lila, little 7-year-old Gopal approached Nanda Maharaj and inquired, "What is it you are working so hard to arrange for this puja? Please tell me, what is the nature of this puja? Who is the demigod that you will be worshipping? What is the purpose of this puja? Now you may think I am very young and I may not understand, but you should not keep secrets from your own relatives. And I am intimate relative. I am your son. So please tell me." Nanda Maharaj smiled. "Oh Gopal, this is a tradition that has been followed for many, many generations amongst our forefathers. Every year we perform this Indra Puja. Because Indra, he is the Lord that is the supervising authority over the rains. And because we have cows that eat the grass, and our livelihood is in the milk products that they produce, for our existence, we require the favor of Indra by sending rains." Krishna was thinking in his heart that Indra is my devotee. And he has such great opulence, power. He's worshipped by the apsaras, the gandharvas, and the devatas. Very powerful position in every way. But I have taken note that pride has arisen in his heart. And I must destroy the pride in his heart. Why is this? Because if there is one thing that Krishna cannot tolerate in the heart of a devotee, it is false pride. Perhaps the most difficult thing to give up in this material world. Trinarapi suniche nataror iba sehishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. If we want to chant the name of the Lord and really taste the sweetness of his name, Krishna will only give that benediction to one who is humble like the blade of grass, tolerant like tree, who finds great pleasure in offering respect to others and does not desire any adoration for oneself. prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. Krishna tells Bhagavad Gita that the bewildered spirit soul thinks him or herself to be the doer of activities, but actually they are being carried out by nature. Krishna is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligence, the ability of man. Krishna is the controller of all controllers and the source of everything. Whether we're good cooks or good singers or good businessmen or good managers or good speakers, whatever we may be good at, we should never be proud. We should understand always that I am only the instrument of God. If we have lust, anger, and greed, we are instruments of Maya, Krishna's potency of Mahamaya. And if we're devotees, we are aspiring to be instruments of Krishna's grace. Yes, it is a natural phenomenon, which is most unfortunate, that when a person gets wealth, fame and prestige, skills, high knowledge, physical beauty, one becomes proud. Janmaishwaraya Shruti Surabhir Edamana Madhapuman. Bhagavatam describes false pride born of these opulences are the greatest disqualifications for spiritual life. Because a proud person cannot really pray. Prayer means from the heart, in a mood of a helpless beggar, begging for mercy. That is real prayer. Begging for service. Begging for love. And the chanting of God's name must be in this type of prayerful mood. But it cannot take place as long as there is false pride. As long as we are contaminated with the demoniac nature that I am better than someone else. As soon as this disease manifests its symptoms in our heart, that I am superior to someone else, whether it's because I am wealthier, or I am healthier, or I am more wise, or I'm chanting more rounds, or I'm following better regulative principles, either for material or spiritual purposes, a devotee never thinks I am better than anyone. Indra is a great devotee. It takes many lifetimes of devotional service and pious activities to attain the position of Indra. But along with that post comes so much wealth, power, and fame. So he was proud. Now here's this little 7-year-old cowherd boy walking on the surface of the earth in Goloka, Gokul, Vrindavan. But how merciful! How merciful! We cannot imagine. Krishna's with his Nityasita devotees, Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, Balaram, Subal, Sridhama, Madhu Mangal, Yashoda, Nanda, his beautiful Sarabi cows that have descended from the spiritual world. He's with Govardhan, Yamuna, the Kalpa Briksha trees of Vrindavan. He's performing his wonderful leelas of love, ecstatic devotion. And he's thinking about Indra, who's millions of miles away in Swargaloka, just puffed up by his opulences.
But because Indra is Krishna's devotee, Krishna's thinking about him. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. It is my promise, I always protect my devotee. I must protect Indra.
Prabhupada often quoted the verse, yasya hamana grinnami harishe tadhanam shanai. Hare Krishna.
It's a very fearful verse for some people. Some people, when they hear this verse, they run out of the temple and go to another. Because Krishna tells, when I show my mercy to my devotee, I may give that devotee whatever he or she likes. But when I give the installment of my supreme compassion, if it is required, I will take away everything from that devotee so that devotee realizes from the core of his or her heart that there is no other shelter than me. And then that devotee actually cries out with love, my holy name. Krishna's performing his beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, but he's thinking, I must rescue my devotee from false pride. So Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, in this world, everything is coming according to a person's karma. The demigods like Indra, they are helpless. All they have the power to do is to give you or not give you according to your karma. In this world, karma is supreme. Karma is controlling everyone. What is this Indra? Who needs this Indra? If you are pious and good in your karma, Indra must give you rain. If you are impious, he will not give you rain. He is just the instrument to deliver a person's karma. Just see, my father. Look at the ocean. The ocean's not performing any pious activities. It doesn't even need rain. And yet, so much water is going into the ocean. Actually, the three modes of material nature are very powerful. And rain is coming by the mode of passion. And because Indra is in the mode of passion, he is doing according to the dictations of the modes of material nature. And even the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, he does not interfere with his own laws. He will simply give you whatever your karma deserves. Krishna was teaching the Sankhya and Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which even he doesn't believe in. Why was he speaking this atheistic philosophy? Because he had a plan to give pleasure to his devotees and to protect Indra. Krishna was so clever. He was speaking in such a way that he would infuriate Indra. Hare Krishna. And we will find out the result as the story progresses. So Krishna told Nanda Maharaj that we are Vaishyas. Everyone gets good karma by following their particular varna. The duty of the Brahmins is to study the scriptures and to share that knowledge with the general population. The duty of the Kshatriyas is to protect the citizens
and establish real dharma in this world.
The duty of Vaishyas
is farming and protecting cows. And the duty of the Shudras is to faithfully assist the others. We are Vaishyas, my father. We have four main responsibilities: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. But in our particular field, our duty is protecting the cows. And we are living in this forest of Vrindavan. And who is providing for our cows? It is Govardhan. Govardhan is supplying fresh, tasty grasses for our cows, which is supplying great abundance of milk. So, my dear father, forget this Indra. Let us worship the Brahmins who give us auspicious blessings, the cows in whom all the demigods are present, and Govardhan Hill, who is most expert at giving pleasure to the cows. Let us take all the paraphernalia that you have arranged for Indra's puja to worship the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. And Krishna gave elaborate arrangements of how this puja is to be done. He said we should make so many wonderful mountains of preparations of bhoga to offer to Giriraj. Puris and sweet rice and laddu and gulab jamun and samosa and kichori and all of the things that we see today and so many more. And we should make so much rice, and the rice should have so much ghee on it that it looks like Mount Kailash with a golden hue of the sun reflecting off it. And then Krishna said, after we offer all this to Govardhan, then we should feed sumptuously the Brahmins and everyone should be, even the Chandalas, even the dogs and the animals should sumptuously feast on the prasad of the Shri Giriraj. And then we should have the Brahmins doing fire yajnas. And after everything, we should circumambulate Govardhan Hill together. Nanda Maharaj, his only desire in life was to please Krishna. There was no other ambition. So if this pleases you, Gopal, then we will perform Govardhan Puja. And the word spread all over Braj Bhumi. And mountains of bhoga was made. For those of you who know Govardhan Parikrama, it is described from Dana Nivartan Kund all the way through Aniyor to close to Govinda Kund. There were several kilometers, miles and miles, both wide and long, of mountains of bhoga. And the Brahmins were performing their yajnas and singing auspicious mantras. And it is so wonderfully explained. Then after putting everything in its place, Krishna and the Brijabasis circumambulated Govardhan Hill. First there were Brahmins chanting mantras. And then behind them was the Gopas. Actually, there were people playing instruments. And then behind them was Gopas, and they were joking, and they had all their cows, hundreds and thousands of cows, countless cows. And they were playing. Behind them was Nanda Maharaj and the elder Gopas. Behind them there were more musicians playing and singing. And behind them were the bullock carts with Rohini and Yashoda and the elderly Gopis and the younger Gopis.
And in this way, very, very blissfully, everyone was ecstatic in joy as they did the parikrama of Shri Giriraj. And at the conclusion of the parikrama, Krishna assumed the form of Shri Govardhan. Krishna manifested his own divine personal form in Govardhan Hill. He became immense in size. It appeared like one mountain on top of another mountain. And he had thousands of arms. And with those arms, he was eating all the preparations. Even in Nandagram, which is long distance again, very long distance, some people were not able to come to Giriraj to offer their offerings. So they were in Nandagram making offerings, and Shri Giriraj, whoop, he just, one of his arms just stretched out miles and miles and miles. And his mouth was just like a gigantic, ecstatic, beautiful cave. And within moments, these thousands of arms just stretched out in all eight directions, just eating and eating and eating and eating until everything was gone. There were lakes of sweet rice. There were lakes of condensed milk. There was mountains of rice and grains and vegetables and fruits and delicious fragrant sabjis. So many sweet preparations all made from milk and grains. And Govardhan consumed it all. There was nothing left. And then with a tumultuous voice, he cried out, "Give me more." There was nothing else. They had already offered him everything in the whole Braj Bhumi. But one simple Brahmin came with a tulsi leaf and offered that. Patram pushpam balam toyam yomi bhakta prayacht. Krishna says, if you offer me even a leaf or flower or water, with devotion, I am satisfied. So Giriraj was happy. When Krishna manifested himself as this gigantic form of Govardhan Hill, everyone understood that Govardhan Hill is none different than Krishna himself. And at the same time, Krishna maintained his form as a little cowherd boy, and personally wanted to teach all the gopas, gopis, and all devotees for all time to come how to worship Govardhan Hill. Krishna, as a cowherd boy, was bowing down to himself in the form of Shri Giriraj and teaching us how to honor and worship him as such. Then within a moment, all the mountains of prasad reappeared as Mahaprasad of Giriraj. Mountains and lakes and streams of the most delicious Mahaprasad, which was distributed to everyone profusely. Krishna was telling the Brahmins should eat so much. They should just be so full with nectarine prasad that they just can't help do anything but just give blessings. And the cows should be given everything that they like to eat. The freshest, nicest, most fragrant grasses and laddus, and everyone must be happy. Even the dogs should be waddling like ducks, so full. Krishna didn't say that, but that's commentary. So this Govardhan Puja was so blissful. Why was everyone so blissful? Because Govardhan is Krishna. Because they satisfied Krishna within their hearts, they were ultimately happy.
Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Lord is like the root of the tree. If you pour water on the root of the tree, all the leaves, flowers, twigs of the tree are satisfied. Similarly, if we satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our souls that are part and parcel of the Lord find the greatest happiness. Sense gratification, any pursuit of pleasure separate from the Lord, is like the leaf of a tree trying to find satisfaction by putting water on itself, neglecting the root. It is superficial, artificial, and ultimately causes us to shrivel up and suffer. So because Krishna taught the art of pleasing himself, everyone was jubilant. The Vrijabhasis were dancing and singing and celebrating Sri Govardhan Puja. It was the happiest, ecstatic festival ever. But there was one person who was not happy. Who was that? His Grace Sriman Indra. Before I continue, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Indra was outraged. All the gopis returned to their homes with the gopas, just so pleased by Krishna's wonderful pastime of Govardhan Puja. But Indra, his heart was tormented with anger. He called for the Sambartaka clouds, which are not ordinary clouds. These are the clouds that are especially deputed at the time of Pralaya, or universal devastation. The Sambartaka clouds have the power, within a very short duration of time, to create a flooding over of the oceans so that the entire earth becomes one ocean of water. They are the clouds of universal devastation, and they are reserved only for that time. Now, recently in Bombay, you have experience of some very common, mundane little clouds that are just caused by some evaporation. Yes? I think you had 30 inches of rain in one day, and so many people lost their lives, lost their property. Such inconvenience. The railways, the roads, the airports closed. Many places, communication was stopped. The city was paralyzed. It came to a standstill because of the rain of one cloud. A little cloud. Trickling cloud in comparison. And the whole world was reading about this rainstorm in Bombay. The clouds of devastation, they are something altogether different. They destroy planets. Krishna infuriated Indra. He was so angry. He was loudly crying out that every year the residents of Vrindavan have been performing this puja for me. I am a demigod. I am the controller of the rain. But this year, because of their false pride,
because of their false pride, because they have so much opulence and so much happiness. They have denied me my worship. They have come under the influence of this arrogant, ignorant, talkative child, Krishna. This little child who speaks all nonsense, by listening to him, they did not worship me. They took all the ingredients that were meant for me and offered it to a hill. Outraged. They must be punished. They must learn their lessons. Sambartaka clouds, go to Vrindavan and destroy it. Complete destruction with all your wrath. Send devastation to the Brijavasis. Sambartaka clouds obediently bowed to Indra. Yes, it will be done. And meanwhile, in Vrindavan, these gigantic clouds started forming in the sky. These clouds were so dark and so large that not even a ray of sunlight could get through them. Everything was in darkness. But that was not a problem, because Krishna's moonlight complexion made everything very nice. And then there was thunder. Tumultuous thunder. Then lightning bolts. Crisscrossing in all directions, lightning bolts. And the Brijavasis and the cows and the calves were looking at the sky. What's happening? It became freezing cold, and then the rains came down. Torrents of rains. Not drops, but columns, pillars of rain. It looked like billions of rivers falling from the sky. And within seconds, you could not even tell between the lower places and the higher places of the ground. It was a devastating rainfall. The cows in the pastures were crying tears, trembling. And with that nice, flowing flesh that is descending from their necks, they were covering their little calves, trying to protect them from the rains. The cows were trembling, crying, trying to protect their little children, helpless. And the bulls, the rain was falling onto the horns of the bulls and bouncing onto its big hump back, and then falling into little drops and falling to the ground. The bulls were angry as fire. They were looking at the sky and roaring. And the gopas and the gopis, they were in a helpless state. They understood that death personified has manifested in this devastating rainfall. Gopas and gopis brought the cows and the bulls with them and approached Gopal. And they cried out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. My dear Krishna, you are all powerful. And we are your devotees. We are in a helpless state. Indra is sending torrents of rain because we followed your instruction of Govardhan Puja. Now we are about to be destroyed. We're freezing cold. Please, save us. And especially your very
favorable to your cows. See the condition of the suffering of your cows. Actually, do you think Indra had any power to make the Nitya Siddha devotees of Goloka Vrindavan suffer? He had no such power. It was Krishna's Lila Shakti. It was Krishna's own internal potency that gave him the experience of suffering. Why? So that they could experience this beautiful Leela of love with him. Just like to the degree you're hungry, you really take shelter and enjoy good prasad. So when there is a great need, when there is a great hunger, there is greater satisfaction. So Krishna allowed these devotees, the Brijabasis, to apparently suffer just so that they could come to him crying for his mercy. Krishna was thinking in his heart that Indra is proud, and now I will crush that pride. And Vrindavan is my home. And the Brijabasis are my family. I must protect them. I must give them shelter. And besides that, anyone who takes shelter of me, it is my promise that I will appear to protect that devotee. So for the pleasure of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan and for the pleasure of all devotees for all time to come, Krishna ran from his home to Govardhan Hill. But by his yogamaya potency, when he ran, none of the rain could fall, so that not a drop touched him. Hare Krishna. And then Krishna, 7-year-old child, effortlessly lifted Giriraj as a little child lifts a mushroom and held it up above his head. According to Haribamsa, with the little finger of his left hand. As he lifted Giriraj, who was there to assist the Lord in every way, it made a tumultuous sound that was echoing throughout the earth planet as Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill effortlessly. And Sri Giriraj had large clumps of dirt falling from the whole perimeter of the hill. Why? Because it made like a boundary wall around the entire parikrama, so that none of the water that dripped off the hill could get inside. Very thorough in his service. Then Krishna called out to all the gopas and gopis of Vrindavan that now look, Govardhan Hill has become like a beautiful jeweled umbrella. Come, bring all your calves and all your belongings. Bring all the cows and your family members. Govardhan Hill is like a beautiful, beautiful town that we could live in. Not even the slightest inconvenience will come upon you. Now we may ask, how is it? So many millions of cows and so many Brijabasis under Govardhan Hill. But the Acharyas explain that when Krishna touched Sri Giriraj with his hand, Giriraj was in such ecstasy that as he was raised up, he expanded in all directions. He expanded miles and miles and miles and miles, just enough so that everyone could come under him without any inconvenience. It was a beautiful sight, the valley under Sri Govardhan. There was grass for the cows to eat, there was ponds and lakes, all facilities. And all the Brijabasis came and surrounded Krishna, who was standing in his most munificent and sweet form as Sri Giridhari.
Shri Giridhari Lal Ki Jai. Surrounding him, everyone experienced the highest satisfaction. Because Krishna, by his transcendental sweet quality, made everyone feel that he was looking only at them. Every cow, every calf, every gopa, every gopi, every peacock, every parrot, every insect, everyone that was there, and there was so many unlimited living entities all gathered under Govardhan Hill, and there was plenty of room. There was no crowding like in the temple today. There was no one thinking, why am I not in front? Why am I way in back? Everyone was fully satisfied because by Krishna's Leela Shakti, he was gazing in everyone. And all the devotees were thinking, Krishna is looking only at me. And in this situation, Krishna was reciprocating with the love of everyone's hearts in the most perfect way. The Brahmins, fully satisfied by Krishna's darshan, were just offering boons and benedictions and blessings upon Gopal. And the cowherd boys were speaking joking words and laughing with Gopal and smelling his head. And the gopis, the young gopis, like the Chakora bird, gazes upon the moon as the only object of their lives. They were gazing upon the beautiful, sweet form of Sri Giriraj. And through their eyes, they were drinking in his beauty and embracing him lovingly within the core of their hearts. And the elder gopis, they were feeling that Krishna may be very tired, or he may be very hungry. They were serving him in their hearts with parental affection. But everyone was completely enjoying the highest ecstasies of Krishna's association. For 7 days and seven nights continuously, everyone gazed upon Krishna. Now the young gopis, previously they were only experiencing Krishna through Purva Raga. But now all their desires were being fulfilled. Krishna was reciprocating simply through his glance and his smiles upon them without the slightest break for 7 days and seven nights. And the gopas, who would usually just play with Krishna all day, were in separation from him all night. But now there was no question of separation of day or night. Krishna was fulfilling all the innermost hearts of all of his devotees through this leela of Govardhan Puja. And Batu, who is the Brahmin cowherd boy of the name Madhu Mangal, in a very laughing voice, he called out, Krishna, I can see that you may be getting tired. I am a Brahmin. By my Brahmin Tejas, I will keep Govardhan Hill up with my stick. You can take rest. Yashoda Mai, after several days, she was looking at Gopal and saying, oh, Gopal, you are so impudent. You have no control over your senses at all. What have you done? You have angered Indra. Are you not even afraid of the demigod Indra? Now he's sending torrents and torrents and torrents of rain. Why have you done like this? And now you're lifting this Govardhan Hill, and it's so heavy, and it's so hard. I cannot tolerate seeing this. You look so tired, Gopal. And then Yashoda Mai began to offer prayers to Govardhan. Oh, Govardhan,
If I have done anything for the service of the Lord in my life, please give me this one benediction. Give me this one benediction out of your compassion. Please be very soft and light, so that you do not hurt the finger of my son. And Mata Mangal, he said, "Oh, mother, don't speak like this. If that insignificant Indra did not become angry, then we would not be enjoying this festival of sweet nectar by watching Krishna in his divine form and Leela of Giridhari lifting Govardhan Hill." Yashoda Mai responded, "Oh, restless one, Maru Mangal, what are you saying? Since when is holding a heavy burden of a mountain something sweet? Look at, his hair is full of perspiration. His body is trembling. His face is pale. How could a mother possibly tolerate something like this?" And Krishna said to Yashoda Mai, "Oh, mother, there's nothing more fun for me than keeping Govardhan Hill lifted in this way. And Govardhan is so merciful. Govardhan is so compassionate. Because we have pleased him by Govardhan Puja, he's floating. I'm not even holding him. He's just floating over my finger. There is no effort at all." Yashoda Mai said, "I don't believe this. You look so tired. How could you hold so long? If it is true that Govardhan is floating and you are only an instrument underneath him, then I want to see him float all around the sky, not on your finger." And Maru Mangal, he said, "Oh, mother, do not worry. It is not Krishna. Govardhan Hill is so effortlessly on his beautiful lotus hand because I am holding it up by the power of my Brahminical mantras." Yashoda Mai replied, "Oh, impudent Brahmin Maru Mangal, how can you speaking like this in such a difficult state? My heart is burning. My heart is burning. And you are telling jokes. My son Krishna, he does not listen to anyone." Nanda Maharaj, he said, "Yashoda Mai, Yashoda, why are you chastising Maru Mangal? His laughing words is encouraging and giving pleasure to Krishna." In this way, there was wonderful reciprocations of love amongst the devotees, inspired by the beautiful Leela of Sri Giridhari. Everyone was in ecstasy. But Krishna, to increase everyone's happiness, while lifting Govardhan Hill with his left hand, he placed his flute to his lotus lips with his right hand. And with that one hand, he played such sweet, enchanting melodies with his flute. Mata Mangal, he said, "Krishna, please stop playing your flute. Stop playing your flute. The song of your flute is so sweet. It is so enchanting that Govardhan is going to go into ecstasy and start trembling. He may fall off your finger and kill us all." And not only that, we have seen, Gopal, we have seen when you play your flute that mountains and stones melt and turn into rivers. And stones and rivers become still and immovable. And another gopa said, Yes, we have seen like that. Krishna, please stop playing your flute. Because if you keep playing your flute, Govardhan Hill is going to melt into liquid and it will be a gigantic river and devastate all of us.
And they all started praying to Govardhan, please keep your composure, please somehow or other, even with Krishna's beautiful sound of flute, please be composed. And other gopas said, do not worry, Govardhan is always composed. Let us just enjoy the sweet song of Krishna's flute. One Vrijabasi turned to Srimati Radharani and said, oh Radharani, please do not move your eyebrows. Because if you do and Krishna sees, then his hand may tremble and shake and Govardhan may fall upon all of us. Meanwhile, Krishna, with his left hand lifting Sri Govardhan and his right hand playing his flute, he was moving his head back and forth and smiling as all the cowherd boys were jokingly telling beautiful stories and reciprocating with Krishna's love. One Sakhi spoke to Srimati Radharani, I have seen that Krishna has just gazed upon you and now there's tears coming from his eyes out of his ecstasy of love for you. And he's perspiring and his hand is trembling. And therefore Govardhan is trembling. And look, look, all the cowherd men. They are so much thinking that Krishna's tired. That's why he's trembling. The cowherd men were thinking that Krishna's fatigue was causing him to tremble. So they all put their cowherd sticks under Govardhan to hold it up. And Madhu Mangal, upon seeing this, he started to joke with the cowherd men. He said, what are you people doing, insignificant cowherd men? You are simply scratching the bottom of Sri Giriraj. He said, Gopal is Balaram's brother. He has all strength. There is nothing to fear. Why are you wasting your time putting your sticks? And Krishna said to Madhu Mangal, please, do not discourage them. This is their parental affections. This is their parental affection toward me. Do not laugh. Yashoda Mai, she was in great anxiety of love as a mother. Several days have passed, Gopal, and you have not taken any food. Look, your face is pale and withering like a dried lotus flower. And your belly is sunken in. And your limbs are trembling. And your cows and your friends, they will not eat until you eat. The cows are very hungry. They have not even tasted a single blade of grass in all these days. And Balaram is very hungry, but he will not eat without you. So I have this preparation of fresh, sweet cream and yogurt. Please take it. And when Madhu Mangal heard this, he became very happy. He said, oh mother, this is very good what you are saying. What you have spoken is correct. Even I am feeling great hunger. And Krishna, who is still in this beautiful threefold bending form of holding Govardhan Hill, he said to Yashoda Mai that I am feeling no fatigue. I am most happy. It seems like no time at all has passed. But still, for your pleasure, you can feed me that cream and butter. Yashoda Mai, that was not sufficient. She asked Subal, please offer Krishna this fresh tambula that I has made. You are his best friend. Please tell Krishna to put his flute down, stop playing his flute, and eat this nice prasad. So Subal personally came and took the flute out of Krishna's hand and put the tambula of Yashoda Mai in Krishna's mouth. And as Krishna was chewing the tambula, he was smiling. And then Yashodamai became satisfied. Everyone was satisfied. All the rasas of the various devotees were perfectly and fully satisfied. For those in Shantaras, like the Brahmins, they were just gazing upon the beautiful form of Krishna and offering him unlimited blessings. For those in Shantaras, Dasyaras like Raktak and Patraka, they were rendering all sorts of beautiful, loving services to Krishna. And in those in Sakyaras, the cowherd boys, they were pleasing Krishna by joking and telling sweet stories and laughing with Krishna. Laughing and laughing and laughing with Krishna. And the gopis, like Chakora birds, were fulfilling all their innermost heart's desires of Madhurya Ras simply by gazing upon Krishna and seeing his gaze and experiencing his smile. And the gopas, like Yashoda and Nanda, and all those in Vatsalya Ras, they were experiencing the highest happiness. Thus, this Govardhan Leela perfectly satisfied with the highest ecstasies of love all the devotees. For 7 days and seven nights. During these 7 days and seven nights, nobody felt the slightest inconvenience of hunger, thirst, or sleep. They were all being nourished and satisfied simply by the darshan of Sri Giridhari Lal Ki Jai! Sri Govardhan Dhari Ki Jai! No need to eat, no need to sleep, no need to drink. Simply the darshan of Krishna satisfied everyone's desires. Except Indra. He was becoming more frustrated by the moment. He had his Samvartaka cloud just pounding down, torrents and torrents and torrents, rivers and columns of rain. They were getting so fatigued, they were going to the ocean and just getting vast quantities of pouring it down. But Govardhan was completely satisfied. Although there was unlimited bolts of lightning crashing on Govardhan Hill, massive thunder, torrents of rain, still, not a single drop of water touched a simple Vrijvasi. The Samvartaka clouds were just with all of their energy trying to please Indra. And Indra was watching. Ultimately, the Samvartaka clouds were defeated. They went and fell at the feet of Indra and said, "We're finished. We cannot do any more. We failed." And Indra became even more angry. He personally came himself with all of his vajras and thunderbolts and all of his powers. He was pounding on Giriraj. And he ordered the Samvartaka clouds. He brought cyclones, hurricanes, tornadoes, every type of powerful wind, and ordered them to have one single mission: to blow Govardhan Hill off the little finger of Krishna's hand. Such winds. But with all this 7 days of high winds, and this Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita and all these hurricanes we read about, which we feel very sad with all the devastation that they did, but these were like, you know, like a baby breathing. compared to the velocity of the winds that Indra was sending. And this gigantic mountain, they could not even budge it from the tip of Krishna's little finger. And Shri Giriraj, he was in ecstasy because he was touched. Because he was touched by the little tip of Krishna's little finger, he was in so much ecstasy. He was just shining with happiness. He was so happy that all the torrents of rain that were coming about him was, he appeared like he was having a pleasant abhishekam. He didn't even feel anything. Billions of thunderbolts were crashing upon him, but he was only feeling happiness. He didn't even, because of the experience of Krishna's touch, he didn't even feel the thunderbolts. And when Indra looked to see what was happening, he was shocked. 7 days and seven nights. And with all of the powers of the rains of devastation, the winds and the thunder, he could not move a single grain of dust from Govardhan Hill. Of all the millions of trees and billions of leaves on the trees, he could not separate a single leaf from a tree. And the animals on top of the hill. Govardhan Hill, just to please those animals, it grew so high. It was growing in all directions on Krishna's finger. It was in such happiness that some of the animals just climbed to the top and they were above the mount. They were above the clouds. So they didn't get touched by a single piece. Indra could not cause the slightest bit of inconvenience for even the insects. His pride was crushed to fine powder. In this state, Indra, this 7 days seemed like seven millenniums. But for the Brijabasis, these 7 days seemed like seven joy-filled hours. Govardhan was radiant and appeared to be most beautiful. And Indra admitted defeat to this little cowherd boy, Gopal. He retreated in great embarrassment. And the sun rose. The sun again appeared in the sky. And Krishna told all the Brijabasis that now you see the sun is shining and the rains have stopped. All danger is gone. You may now return to your homes. But none of the Brijabasis wanted to return to their homes. Their home was with Krishna. But Krishna told them to return to their homes, and ultimately whatever pleases Krishna is the life and soul of his devotees. Krishna said, now you can put all your wares and take all of your cows and go home. So with their bullocks, they all left the valley under Shri Giriraj Govardhan. And cowherd boys were herding the cows away. They all came out from Govardhan Hill, but the cows, who were so deeply attached to this darshan of Giridhari for the last 7 days, just couldn't give it up. All the hundreds and thousands of cows just ran back and in a circle around Krishna, gazing upon him with tear-filled eyes. Gopal, who is the best friend of the cows, with his head and his glance, he herded them back to the pasture grounds. after everyone had left the shelter of Sri Govardhan, then Sri Giridhari, he gently placed Govardhan back on the ground exactly as it had been previous to his lifting. Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Krishna and all the gopas and gopis returned to their homes. Some of the cowherd men approached Nanda Maharaj. How wonderful is Krishna? We cannot understand. Please tell us, your son does not seem ordinary. Amazing thing. They never thought like this under Govardhan Hill because they were so enraptured by the beauty of the darshan of Gopal as Giridhari that nobody used their intelligence. They were just drowning in ecstasy of love. But when they became separated from his form, then they started thinking about what just happened. Here he is, just a 7-year-old little boy, and here is the huge Govardhan Hill, and he lifts it up with his left hand and defeats Indra, the king of heaven. When Krishna was just an infant baby, before he could properly even open his eyes, he sucked the poison and the life out of the gigantic Rakshasi Putana. When Gopal was only 3 months old, the ghostly demon Shakatasura came to kill Krishna with a cart, and with one kick of his soft little lotus foot, he destroyed the cart and killed Shakatasura. When Krishna was only 1 year old, the great demon Trinabharta came and took Krishna high in the sky, and Krishna choked him with the squeezing of his soft lotus arm, and he came to the ground crashing to his death. And then Gopal, when Yashoda, when she tied Krishna to the wooden grinding mortar, he pulled that wooden grinding mortar and uprooted the two powerful, gigantic Arjuna trees. And then we move from Gokul, and that powerful, gigantic Bakasura came in the form of a bird and swallowed Krishna. But then Krishna killed him by bifurcating his beak. And Batsasura, that horrible Rakshasa, appeared in a calf, and Krishna whirled him around and threw him to the top of the Kapita trees. And then Agasura, massive serpent, 8 miles long. And Krishna entered his mouth and suffocated him. And now, today, we have seen Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill and defeating the king of heaven, Indra. Who is your son? Where does he get his powers? And Nanda Maharaj smiled. He said, I will answer your question. He said, you are all thinking Krishna to be your own son because of his all-attractive love. During Krishna's name-giving ceremony, the great Gargamuni came to Gokul. And when he secretly, in my cowshed, gave the names to Krishna and performed this sacred samskara, he spoke these words, that this child, he appears in every yuga. Previously, he has appeared in a white form in Satyayuga, in a red form in Treta Yuga, in a golden form in Kali Yuga, and now he is appearing in this beautiful bluish form like a rain cloud. He has many names and he performs many pastimes. Your child will perform such wonderful activities to charm the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan.
He will protect you from all fears. He is as good as Narayan, with the powers of Narayan invested within him. But please, take very good care of him. In other words, Garga Muni did not say Krishna was God, but rather that he was empowered by the Lord. And by the Yogamaya potency of Lord Krishna, he attracted people's love so much by his love. All the love of everyone's heart just came pouring out to Krishna. And Krishna's love was pouring out to them. Therefore, despite seeing his incredible feats of divine opulences, they always considered him their own child. A boy who would cry when there was thunder and lightning. A boy who would be very, very disturbed if any of the cowherd men or cowherd women did not show him proper attention. A boy who would cry when he was hungry. A boy who would steal butter and yogurt and then lie about it, that I did not steal it. And the gopis, they complained to Yashoda, Krishna stole butter from our house. Krishna said, I didn't steal. Yashoda Mai said, then what is this butter all over your mouth? Krishna said, I didn't take it. The gopis smeared it on my mouth. Krishna's not lying. Krishna's the absolute truth. He's the proprietor of everything that exists. There's nothing that he can steal because everything is his. In this way, Krishna charmed the hearts of all the Vrijavasis. And they loved him like their own child, friend, or lover. Wonderful Krishna. While this was being spoken between Nanda and the cowherd men, Krishna, who was herding his cows with his friends, decided to go away from all of them to a secluded place, because he wanted a place wherein he could meet with Indra. Meanwhile, Indra, he was absolutely devastated. He realized that this little talkative boy was the Supreme Lord, the controller of all controllers. And he couldn't talk to Sachi, his wife. He couldn't even look at his ministers. He was so humiliated. He couldn't perform any of his functions as the king of the Swargaloka. Couldn't do anything. He was dysfunctional. So he approached Brihaspati, the guru of the Devatas. What am I going to do? Brihaspati said, you fool, look what you have done. You have created devastation. You tried to destroy Krishna, the Brijavasis, and the whole of Brajbhumi? There's nothing I could do to help you. This is a serious offense. You should go to Lord Brahma. If anyone can help you, it's him. So Indra, with his head down, really just feeling totally insignificant and humiliated and embarrassed by his anger, he came before Brahma. Brahma chastised, you fool, why you did like this? You cannot approach Krishna now. You attacked his devotees. Only if a devotee appeals on your behalf will he hear your prayers. Go to Sarabi, the mother of the cows, because Krishna Krishna is very dear to the cows, and the cows are so very dear to Krishna. If she prays for Krishna to forgive you, then only will you be forgiven. So here is Indra, the almighty king of heaven. And he's bowing down with all of his ornaments to the hoofs of a cow, a mother. Indra has so many important duties. He's an organizer, he's a manager. And what's the cow's duty? She's simply a mother, that's all. Nothing else, just a mother. Just giving milk and taking care of her calves. This is the great sanctity of the position of a mother. Indra, with all of his big responsibilities to the universe, is bowing down with all humility, taking shelter of a simple mother cow. And when she saw the sincerity of Indra's heart, she felt pity upon him. Come, let us go. And she led the way to Gokul. And there at a secluded place, which is today Surabhi Kund, Surabhi approached Gopal with love, motherly love. She appealed to Gopal that you are so merciful, so kind, that you have protected all the cows and cowherd men and cowherd ladies. Indra, he is feeling repentant by his mistake. He wants to take shelter of you. Please forgive him. This is very important. This is a universal principle that applies to everyone. If we have ever offended God, we cannot approach Him directly. You may have your opinion, everyone else may have their opinion, but this is Krishna's opinion. If we have offended the Lord, we must approach those who the Lord loves, His devotees. And when those devotees pray on our behalf, then Krishna is sure to shower His mercy upon us. Indra first offered his pranam dandavats to Krishna, and Krishna walked by. He didn't even consider his existence. But when Mother Surabhi appealed on his behalf, Krishna turned to Indra, who was laying flat like a stick in humility, offering his pranams. For a long time he could not even get up. And finally, when he came up with folded palms, he offered beautiful prayers, begging for forgiveness. My Lord, you are so merciful. Because of my opulences, my knowledge, my power, my beauty, I have become proud. And you have, out of your mercy to your devotee, you have crushed this pride. When my pride was crushed, I became angry. And when there is anger, memory is lost, intelligence is gone, and one engages in abominable activities. And that's what happened to Indra. Indra was thanking Krishna with grateful heart for his mercy. And Krishna was pleased and told Indra, yes, because you are my devotee And I saw this false prestige in your heart. I have performed this pastime just to cure you of this disease. Do not be proud of your opulence or your position. Perform your service in a spirit of devotion. Now you may go back to your heavenly kingdom and resume your responsibilities. Indra said that, my Lord, you are the real Indra. You are the real Lord. And because you have given such loving protection to your cows, today I give you the name Govinda. Then Indra and Sarabi asked Krishna's permission to perform Abhishekam, to coronate him as the King of Kings. At a place called Govindakund, the Abhishek took place. Mother Sarabi, with nectarine milk, bathed the body of Krishna. Indra had his elephant carrier Airavata bring unlimited quantities of water from the Akash Ganga to bathe Krishna. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the principal demigods, all the great rishis and their wives, they all participated in this Abhishekam. Sri Govardhan created a beautiful throne for Krishna to sit upon. As the chaste, faithful ladies of the sages, they all came, Arundhati and others, to bathe Krishna in the first session. And all the demigods came forward to bathe Krishna, singing beautiful hymns. Lord Shiva took off his snakes and went to Manasi Ganga to bathe all of the ashes off his body, and then came to perform arti for Krishna. It was a wonderful experience. And after, with all the royal paraphernalia from the heavenly planets, they worshiped Krishna for many hours. They begged Krishna for his blessings, and all the devatas returned to their abodes. Meanwhile, the cowherd boys, they didn't know where Krishna was all this time. But they heard all the singing and chanting of hymns, so they came running. And there they saw Krishna sitting on this throne in Govardhan. And they saw these beautiful chamaras and beautiful peacock fans and beautiful arti paraphernalia made out of precious jewels. And the cowherd boys were singing and dancing, and they were picking up the chamara and offering and laughing and joking in the peacock fan, and they started offering artis, and all the paraphernalia that the demigods left were used by the gopas as they were playing with Krishna, doing puja. And Balaram heard the noise, and he came and he sat on the throne with Krishna and embraced Krishna, sitting together. As all the gopas were performing their puja, laughing and dancing and singing. And when the demigods saw the cowherd boys' puja to Krishna, they became so embarrassed, because they understood, compared to the spontaneous love of the gopas, they had no real love at all. And meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and all the elder gopas and gopis, they were looking everywhere, and they heard all the singing and frolicking of the cowherd boys, and they came and they saw, they asked, "Where did you get these chamaras and this beautiful deep and all this paraphernalia?" And Sridhama said, "We were looking for the cows. And here we found Krishna, and all this paraphernalia was sitting here. We don't know where it came from." Madhu Mangal said, "I know where it came from. I saw it all. Unbelievable. You'll never believe what I saw. You'll never believe, but I will tell you. First I saw a talking cow offering prayers to Gopal. Then I saw this person with 1,000 eyes all over his body offering his obeisances again and again and again and again. Then I saw this gigantic elephant, a white elephant with 4 tusks and trunks. And he was pouring Ganges water all over Krishna. And then there was a person with 4 heads offering prayers. And then there was another person with 5 heads offering prayers.
And then from the sky the demigod spoke that Nanda Maharaj, as we have coronated Krishna as Govinda,
because Govinda means one who gives pleasure to cows,
and all the demigods are present in the body of a cow.
So by Krishna's giving pleasure to the cows, by his protecting the cows, he's protecting all the demigods. So as we have coronated as Govinda, and we have coronated him as our Indra, you should have an Abhishek and coronate him as the king of Sri Brajdham. And then under Nanda Maharaja's supervision, they performed a beautiful Abhishekam for Krishna. And all the cowherd boys were joking and dancing, and the gopis were glancing upon Krishna with gazes of ecstasy. And Yashodamai performed the last arti. Yashodamai performed that arti. And then Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini, and Krishna Balaram returned to their homes. And thus ends the narration of Sri Govardhan Leela. Sri Govardhan Puja Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, during his very last days in this world, it was his desire to perform the parikrama of Gidiraj. However, his body was in such a frail condition that doctors, they warned the devotees that surely he will die if he tries to perform this parikrama of Govardhan. It is not possible. It is not possible for him to survive. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even sit up. His body was so thin. Srila Prabhupada told Lokanath Swami Maharaj and Hamsadutta Prabhu to get bullock carts, and he would sit on the bullock and do parikrama of Govardhan, along with the devotees performing Nam Sankirtan. Devotees, there was a conflict. Some of the devotees felt it's Prabhupada's order. We must do it. We must put aside all our material conceptions. It is the order of Gurudev. And other devotees were just weeping and crying. Their hearts were broken. He will suffer and he will die. We can't do it. So behind the scenes, there was debates between the leaders of ISKCON, and they were becoming very heated. Guru Maharaj said we should do it. We can't do it. We cannot tolerate the thought of him doing it. So devotees were coming to him again and again, begging and pleading, Prabhupada, please, 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 don't do this parikrama. We cannot see your body being jostled on an ox cart. You will not survive. Prabhupada said, no, no, we will do. It was Prabhupada's wish. Prabhupada wanted to teach us all in his own heart how sacred Govardhan Hill was. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first saw the first Shila of Govardhan, when he went to Vrindavan, He embraced that Govardhan Shila as the very body of Krishna. In fact, he kept the Govardhan Shila, a small stone from the hill, and wore it around his neck, and it was always covered with the tears of his love, because he understood that the Govardhan Shila was none different. It was the body of Krishna. And in supreme love, he offered that Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojana Acharya of our Sampradaya, along with the Gunja Mala. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he believed that Lord Chaitanya, by giving me a Govardhan Shila, has given me eternal residence at Govardhan Hill. And by giving me the Gunja Mala, he has given me the shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Yes, Sanatan Goswami, he performed Govardhan Parikrama every day as he was living at Chakaleshwar Mahadev on the banks of Manasi Ganga. At Sri Radha Kund, which is near the Sri Govardhan Hill on the Parikrama route, there was the Bhajan Kutirs of Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. It is the place Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is the cave of Raghava Pandit. So many of our great acharyas. It was at Govardhan that Madhavendra Puri found the beautiful deity of Srinathji. Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach us all the supreme glories of Govardhan. And he was willing to give his life to perform Govardhan Parikrama. When devotee said, "You will die," he said, "It will be glorious dying doing Govardhan Parikrama." But when the devotees were weeping and crying and begging for Prabhupada to not do, Prabhupada's dear godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, came. And Prabhupada smiled and said to Babaji Maharaj, "Just see their love for me." Prabhupada accepted as their love. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was very blissful to see the love of Prabhupada for his devotees and the love of the devotees for Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Sri Govardhan Hill is the worshipable form of Krishna. And on Krishna's instruction, every year we perform this Govardhan Puja. And by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, today, in about 500 temples in every continent on earth, except Antarctica, there is Anukut. Mountains and mountains of bhoga being offered to Sri Giriraj. When Lord Chaitanya was at Govardhan, he prayed to Sri Haridev, the predominating deity, that, "Oh, Giridhari, you lifted your finger not only to curb the pride of Indra, but to give protection to your devotees. This should be our prayer. This most magnificent, munificent form of Gopal on the altar is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He has appeared to give us his darshan every day." We pray to Gopal, "Please protect us. Protect us from lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. Protect us from Maya. Yes, it is like a storm.
Maya Devi,
there are thunderbolts and torrents of devastating rain and thunder all around us in this material world, in this age of Kali. From within and without, these storms are coming upon us.
Storms of lust, storms of anger, storms of envy and pride and greed and illusion.
And these storms have the power to devastate our consciousness and obscure our bhakti. But we pray to Giridhari, please protect us. Please protect us by your causeless mercy. And he has come to protect us. In the mood of the Brijabasis, we must take shelter of Krishna as the exclusive object of all of our hope in life. And in this spirit, we remember this beautiful darshan of Sri Giridhari, and we take shelter of his holy names. Now let us sincerely pray that Sri Giridhari Gopal may protect us. Protect us from all those desires and all those influences that are unfavorable to pure devotional service. Pray that we can be protected from the 10 offenses to the holy name so that we can chant and receive his complete mercy. And let us pray that we can always remain under the Govardhan hill of his mercy, under the umbrella of service to the Vaishnavas and service to the holy names. I thank you very much. Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. I'm sorry if I spoke too long, but there's a lot of prasad, and I wanted to increase your appetites as much as possible so that you can experience the nectar of Krishna's mercy. But prasad time is not yet, unless you choose to go down. Prasad is being served. But at this time we will have special kirtan. And we will get the benefits of circumambulating Govardhan by performing the parikrama of the mountain today. So what we could do is devotees could be dancing and singing in this direction, and some portion at a time could do parikrama of the Anakut offering, Sri Giriraj. And as you're doing the parikrama, please observe the wonderful offerings of love by so many hundreds and hundreds of devotees, both on the hill and on the altar as well. I personally offer my sincerest gratitude to all the devotees who have brought their offerings today and who are participating in our festival.